Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. County Council accepted a report telling them local taxpayers are contributing up to 75% of the cost associated with housing programs. Ontario is the only province who has downloaded those costs. Some of the numbers are alarming. Rebecca Carman, Housing Services Manager for Northumberland County, will explain what is going on and why. She will also outline the steps she and her fellow managers across Ontario are taking to lobby the government to change things. Once again, Rebecca Carman, Housing Services Manager for Northumberland County, welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's a pleasure to be back.
County Council accepted a report from you recently called A Home for Everyone, How We Get There Together. Can you give a very broad introduction to what the report is trying to address locally?
So this report was a report put together through a technical table representing our 47 service managers across the province. The intent of this report was to provide an alternate viewpoint to the work that's being done to talk about how we can address the housing crisis across the province. We recognized when we started to get together to write this report in 2022 that a lot of the discussions around what municipalities can do to support the development of affordable housing was focused on the planning side of the work we do. And so this paper was intended to create awareness and provide some recommendations of the work that is already ongoing that service managers are doing across the province in our role of building rental housing writ large.
Okay, for people who may not be familiar with the term, what is a technical table?
Sure. So I'll have to back up a bit. The Housing Strategic Steering Committee, we are a group of senior housing leaders from across the province. We represent the service manager voice. So there's 47 service managers across the province. We provide strategic advice and advocacy to the province from that service manager voice. And what the steering committee does is we can also create technical tables. So when there's an issue that arises that needs attention, we can strike technical tables. So we did this. We created the Municipal Support of Rental Development Technical Table in 2022. And we had a survey that went out to all service managers. And we also had representation of about 14 different service managers on the technical table who supported the drafting, verified the recommendations, and, you know, just generally helped that paper development.
So it sounds like a fancy word for a committee.
Yes.
Before we got into this, about the perspective of housing service managers versus planners, mm-hmm. Can you distinguish for us what that difference is and why it's significant?
Sure. So prior to the early 2000s, housing was administered and funded directly by the provincial and federal governments. In the late 1990s to early 2000s, what happened was something we call the download. So these services were downloaded to municipal levels. It's important to note that Ontario is the only province across the country that has downloaded these services to municipalities. Similar to other programs social services offers like Ontario Works, they created these 47 service manager bodies that were regional bodies that were intended to oversee systems plan from a local perspective. So service managers could be upper tier municipalities like the county, it could be single tier municipalities like the city of Kingston, or it could be a district social services administrative board, which are created in the north. So and they cover a much larger geography, but they also have that same role as administering those social services.
Now, in the report, you mentioned that the Ontario is the only place in Canada where this funding for housing program is at the municipal level and not at the provincial level. And you mentioned that earlier. Why is that so significant in terms of how you do your job and what you're doing your job? Can you explain why that's so important and why it was mentioned in the report?
Sure. So I think it's important when we're looking at a systems perspective of what we're going to do, what we can do to respond to the housing crisis. So we recognize that, you know, the housing crisis is large and requires substantial amounts of efforts by all levels of government, including municipal, federal, and provincial. However, when we look at the funding breakdown, what we see is that it is currently predominantly focused on levy-funded resources. And we recognize that this crisis will not be solved exclusively by a level of government that only gets 8 cents of every tax dollar.
I want to explore that really in some depth, because that, I think, was the most shocking thing that came out of the report. In Northumberland, 3/4 of the 2023 annual operating budget for housing is paid through local taxes.
Correct.
Now that sounds like a lot, is it?
For sure, it is. It is a lot. What I will say is that we are not alone in this breakdown. This is across the province. And I think that's what the paper showed as well. So for example, you know, what this means too is that the other thing I would say, especially on the operating budget, is that some of these investments aren't choices that service managers are making. We are legislatively required to make these investments into the housing system. We are legislatively required to continue to subsidize rent geared to income households, which of course needs to happen. However, again, recognizing what tax source is paying for these investments is really critical. The provincial investment into housing doesn't match those pieces. And so what we're really advocating for is all three levels of government to come together. And we always advocate for a third, a third, a third as service managers to say each level of government needs to be contributing into the housing system so that we can make sure that this is a system that will last us for generations to come. And that also we can grow in a way that meets the needs of our community.
So rather than paying 75% from the local tax base, you're advocating for 30%, and then the province and the federal government kick in the balance 60%. Am I understanding the math there correctly?
That's the general principle of what we're looking for. What we would suggest is something that would make a lot of support, and we could do a lot more with what we have. One of the things we're doing, again, as the Housing Strategic Steering Committee at that provincial level, is we're wanting to make sure that the unique elements of the housing world are reflected in provincial dialogue and discussion. So it's really important that the public begins to become aware of this reality. It's one of the main goals of the paper to recognize that outside of probably a smaller housing subset of the world, this isn't well known. This isn't understood to know how housing is currently funded and what we could do if we had more investments, and why we make decisions that we make is, you know, all of those pieces really do play into where the funding source comes from and how we can make the best decisions that are reflective of taxpayer dollars.
There may be some people listening who say, it sounds to me like a lot of cups and balls where, you know, there's that famous expression, you know, taxes come from one taxpayer, whether it's the left pocket or the right pocket. Why is it so important then that we shift some of this burden up to the provincial level to achieve what you say is more that we could get? Can you explain that a little more clearly?
So for sure. So I think the first piece is recognizing that municipalities only get 8 cents of every tax dollar. So that puts an extra burden on that. The other key piece is where the funding source is for those tax dollars. So provincial taxes are funded through income taxes. So it's about when we're talking about an income equality program, which is what we are talking about here, that potentially is the better fit for these types of programming rather than on the property taxes of homes that people may live in regardless of their income, what they're contributing. So I think a key piece is about where those tax dollars are generated, where they're generated and what their funding goes towards.
So the province has more tools to get larger amounts of money that are more equitably distributed rather than locally, where it all comes down on the property taxpayer.
Correct. And I think really it's about making sure that there is some more of that equitable distribution for the funding of this important priority and these important programs.
Okay. If that change did take place, would we be able to do more with the money that we would receive? Where do you see the advantage then? If all of that came to about, what would it mean to us locally then? What would I expect to happen that maybe isn't happening now?
So for sure. So I think there's a couple of key things. We've also just recently completed our community housing master plan. And what that shows to us is that there is a significant underfunding of long-term capital needs across our community housing portfolio in the earmark of $47 million over the next 10 years. So we're going to have to find ways to address that. We, again, are not alone. This is a systems issue when you have buildings that are between 30 and 50 years old. So funding would enable us to be able to continue to create that standard level. The other thing that we would see is when we're building for capital for new builds, one of the things that we're really working on is limiting the impact long-term to the county levy as a result of capital builds. So what that means is that our builds will become viable on their own. That's our goal. And don't need long-term levy investments. So what that means for affordable housing is that we will likely be building mostly reasonable market rent, and more in a lesser degree of affordable. So we might be at 80% of average market rent rather than deeply affordable rent geared to income units, because we can't subsidize those long-term. So if we had some more funding distribution, we could build a higher number of deeply affordable units, supportive housing units, all of those things that meet a different need within the community, we'd be able to do more.
It's not surprising that your group is one of how many other groups that are going to the province crying for money. How hard do you think the government is listening when you hold out your hat?
It's hard, I think, to indicate what someone else is doing. We know that we've had some discussions. These are long-term challenges. I mean, like I had said, since the early 2000s, that we have been raising attention to. So we are hopeful that some of these will get some traction. The report includes 31 recommendations, including some that are around program and process improvements that we're hoping would, you know, create some momentum. The way the paper was drafted was that it's not a all or nothing. If we could get some significant consideration of the various pieces, it would help. Anything would help make that that system work a little bit smoother. So I guess that would be how I would envision that.
One of the things that I saw in the report as well was a request to purchase rental stock and to produce more affordable rental options. I was curious as to the government's position on this, because the provincial government talks a lot about affordable housing units. So why are you so interested in rental units? Isn't that a provincial responsibility? Isn't that part of them looking after affordable housing, and they should be, you know, pushing developers to create rental units?
So I think while the province does set some frameworks for affordable housing, I would say that I think at the local level is where a lot of those boots are on the ground to make those affordable housing units happen, to make sure that where developers are incentivized to create affordable housing units, it's local governments who are ensuring that that does happen. That recommendation specifically was thinking around, you know, our housing stock across the province we have such limited stock available as it were. And the idea in some of these recommendations is around some flexibility in programs that can be on demand versus, as funding rolls out. And as a funder, I can recognize that that's a challenge. However, if there was a pot of money that we could access when there was something that we could do to keep affordable housing in our communities, that would really be a benefit. For example, 123 King Street in Colborne would be an example of a privately owned rental building that went up for sale. The rents in that building were affordable. And the county, through its housing reserves, purchased that property. We envision that this property, after some repairs for building some major health and safety and accessibility repairs, we do believe this building will be self-sustaining. So we needed the capital up front to buy it. We had a housing reserve we'd been saving for a long time, and we were able to do that. But that was one of those creative programs that we thought about that might be. There may be other rental buildings across the province that we could keep affordable if we could support that purchase of it with that capital and that capital contribution.
The report calls for more grants and loans from the federal and provincial governments. Now, most recently, we've watched as an apartment building was constructed in Cobourg that ended up raising questions about a number of affordable units. The project received $15 million. Some might argue it did not meet the threshold locally for affordable housing. When taxpayers see this kind of activity, do they really want to give developers more money if it raises questions about its effectiveness in providing affordable rental units?
So I think what I will say is that I think it's important to understand what funding stream developers might be applying to. So the development that you're talking about, they did meet all of the program funding definitions through that funding stream. It was rental construction financing. It's a much different funding program. So I think that it's just important to recognize that there are different definitions. We also know in the current state of the rental market, increasing purpose-built rental units will support the general market across the board. So I think it's really important that we understand what the definition of affordable is, because every program has a different definition, which adds to the confusion. So I would just want to say that I would recommend that we recognize that there are purposes, and those developers do have to meet requirements under those financing streams. When we talk about loans and grants for the development of affordable housing, what we're really talking about is, we would recommend that there are interest-free loans. We haven't had it happen yet in Northumberland, but we do know we have fellow service managers who have had shovel-ready projects stay on the shelf because of the rising interest. And when we take out a debenture, we are taking a loan out from Infrastructure Ontario, and we're paying it back with interest. And so are there creative opportunities to lower that interest, remove that interest in the name of affordable housing and recognizing what we can build? The other thing is that we would call on more grant funding. We really need that grant funding to make projects viable, particularly, as I had said, in the rising interest rates, the cost of construction. So really rethinking how we navigate those constructions and loans, what they look like, what they can support, and how we can move them forward.
If we're going to be giving these breaks and helping developers, how stringent is it going to be? So to ensure, I guess, as taxpayers are listening, how much guarantee are we going to get that on a local level, we're going to get the affordable units that are promised, and that we're going to see that they're going to follow through?
Sure. So what I can speak only to what the county does and how the county navigates these things. The county has experience in flowing money through the provincial and federal government to private developers to create affordable housing. We monitor those projects yearly to ensure that their affordability still meets the definition of both the program criteria. And often those developments have an affordability period of 20 to 25 years. We also register a mortgage on title. So what that means is that if that proponent were to sell or to try to divest of it, they would have to first deal with our affordability mortgage. And if they defaulted on our affordability or other requirements, we would have some options to take. We are considering the same for our capital grant program that's rolling out. We will do the same. We will require that it's affordable for 20 to 25 years. We also require that at least half of those units, we have the option to provide a rent subsidy for someone on our wait list to access those units. So, I mean, I think we have some experience in navigating that piece, and that's how we will manage it from a county perspective going forward.
The report talks about education and awareness. Mm-hmm. What needs to be done to make people more aware of what's going on?
So I think, you know, the opportunities to come and talk to you today, Rob, going to council, trying to raise that awareness, those are some of the actions. We also have talked about things around consultation. So recognizing that service managers provide the bulk of housing funding. Right now, we know the province and federal government have conversations with each other. We would like to be included in those conversations. We are an active funder. We are an active partner. We need that meaningful consultation. We also reference things around the funding announcements and press releases, so that when we are doing funding announcements and press releases, that there is some acknowledgement of the role of the service manager and what they're funding. What we often see is around the provincial and federal investment, and we would like to be acknowledged that in order to make these projects viable, it also required our funding and our support. And then that might help create that more holistic view and recognition of all the partners at the table. You know, the county is looking at how we can raise that awareness ourselves, but we would also call on our provincial and federal partners to also recognize the role we have in funding of housing.
Council accepted this report for informational purposes. What is next to ensure that this report just doesn't gather dust on a shelf? What are the concrete steps that council needs to make?
So I think we will use this report. So there's two, I think, pieces. There's one from a local perspective and one from more of that provincial, you know, strategic committee perspective. And what we will be doing is we will be working from a provincial level with advocacy organizations to find ways to incorporate these recommendations into their positions on housing when they're advocating to the province. We locally will also use this paper as we work on our housing advocacy to our local MPPs, to our local MP, as we continue to have discussions on housing and moving things forward. And we will continue to raise awareness around the reality of housing and where it's funded through information campaigns, you know, maybe some new signage, things like that as we move forward with telling our story in moving forward.
Rebecca Carmen, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That was Rebecca Carmen, Housing Services Manager for Northumberland County. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.